You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
The Vietnam War, it's over.
Your job just begun.
A new HBO original limited series.
Welcome to the world of spycraft.
Strap in.
From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr.
What are you concealing?
Based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel by Viet Thanh Nguyen.
What if I told you that I was a communist spy?
How did you become this?
The Sympathizer, streaming April 14th on Max. Subscription required.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special.
As always, it's the imbalanced history of rock and roll, but today we both are in a kind of a loving mood, wouldn't you say, Marcus?
I would definitely say so, as it is Valentine's season, or St. Valentine's season.
Look out, man, that little guy with the arrows is flying through the trees. Hey, Coop, along with Marcus Goldman, and yes, we're celebrating Valentine's 2023.
And it's always fun to talk about that aspect of music, because the heart is a very key aspect of music. Love songs fit in that category as well, because there are certain love songs whose lyrics resonate loudly with you.
Therefore, everybody has them, and it's different for everybody, which makes this a fun episode of the podcast, too. Here's a thought. Love songs have been around for centuries, and you can find them as part of histories and places and culture throughout the centuries, right? In most societies that we know, even some we don't.
Mm-hmm.
But their ubiquity, their being a constant thread in societies, is a modern phenomenon. The oldest love songs go back to Mesopotamia. So you're going back pretty far if you're there in the middle of the Tigris and Euphrates. You know what I call the Fertile Triangle, you know what I mean?
And I would be willing to bet money that love songs and songs in general, whether they be spiritual, religious, or whatever, go back even further than that.
Oh, yeah.
We just only have documented record of said love songs as far back as Mesopotamia, but it's guaranteed because everything was passed down orally before it was written. So,
speaking of orally, the songs that set it apart are those about romance and erotic love. So that's what makes it a love song initially, you know. It's about the feelings and also the stuff I want to do with you. And that translates, if you think about it, moving through the centuries here into the 20th and 21st century, which is primarily what we're talking about, with Words of Love for Valentine's Day here on the Imbalanced History Podcast. When you get around to the more modern era of love songs, Marcus, there are so many that are favorites to people, right?
Yes.
Everybody has a different flavor or approach that they prefer. But why? Please tell me. Is Whitney Houston's Greatest Love of All cited as the number one love song on so many of the lists that I found in my research looking around on the internet and stuff?
I believe the children are them well and let them lead the way. Show them all the beauty they possess inside. Give them a sense of pride to make it easier. Let the children's laughter remind us how we used to be. Everybody searching for a hero. People need someone to look up to. I never found anyone who fulfilled my needs.
I cannot tell you why it is, but I can tell you it's a fantastic love song, and she had a voice that you could say was at the level of Aretha Franklin and those greats without doubt. And she could sing her heart out like nobody's business. And while a lot of people cite Greatest Love of All as one of the, if not the greatest love song of all time, I will take I Will Always Love You over that any day from her. That song melts me to the core when I hear it.
Artists have one of those songs. You know what I'm saying? One of those songs.
Yeah.
And she's got two of them right there. The great Whitney Houston talking about love songs. So you can't go far without talking about her in that.
Without a doubt. I mean, if we really decided to go down this rabbit hole, we could talk for 6 or 7 hours straight.
I would say coming out of the 20s and 30s, there were kind of like those stand-up singers who were doing what I would call appropriate for the times love songs. And there were, of course, the people in the blues roadhouses, in the bars and the speakeasies that were doing swing and jazz, that were making all kinds of lewd inferences in their music. But the love song, you know, in the 40s and the 50s, the love me tenders of the world, the sincerity, the sincere love songs became part of American culture in a real way, in an increasing way, since the 20s and 30s and 40s and on.
Definitely. And in those days, white culture and black culture's love songs were separated. And I would love to, at some point, do a side-by-side comparison of those one day, because it would be fascinating to
do. Like, Find Love Me Tender's match in the R&B chart of the times. I bet you you could. I bet you we could have a whole lot of... First off, it's going to be a big research project.
Absolutely.
Research department, cancel your weekend plan.
It's fascinating how this history, you know, how these songs evolved and how they rolled in that time period, where some of them were dirty through wordplay and some of them were more sexy through wordplay, but they had to use words almost in a code-like way, because if they came right out and sang it like you can today, they would have been completely blacklisted and banned, and it would have been crazy. So they had to be very clever with how they wrote the love songs to be able to get them out there and be able to get them to resonate with the masses too.
And kind of to contrast things that throw the romantic feel out there from the early days of love songs through now, I present the following lyric. My milkshake brings all the boys to yard, and they're like, it's better than yours, damn right, it's better than yours, I could teach you, but I have to charge. My milkshake brings all the boys to the yard, and they're like, it's better than yours, damn right, it's better than yours, I could teach you.
I love that song.
Yeah, me too. But hey, what chance am I going to get to do it other than here on the Imbalance History? Love song.
It is. And even like the breakup love songs or the heartbreak part of the love songs are pretty...
Yeah, I never thought about that. They're part of love songs,
fascinating
too, right?
Yeah, definitely. Some of them...
comes of a broken heart, right?
Ooh, yeah. I mean, some of these people have written some of the most incredible songs, brokenhearted. And...
it's amazing, right? Love, the same subject, taken from different angles. Mm-hmm. You know, the I love her, but she doesn't love me angle, or the 40s or 50s, that kind of thing, right?
Absolutely.
All the romantic love flavors that are out there, all about the feelings of falling in love. And of course, the heartbreak, not only of psoriasis, but of breakup.
One example of that is I Heard It Through the Grapevine, and when you hear Marvin Gaye do it, he does it with such heartbreak and pain, and you can feel the pain in his voice, whereas John Fogerty of CCR does it with a little bit of anger and rage, like, how the hell could you do that to me?
Ah!
then you have Gladys Knight and the Pips doing a version of that, and Gladys is singing it like, thank God I found out what a jerk you were. I feel relief now, and there's that sense of relief feeling in her version of that song, and I find that aspect of the hurt or the breakup or the pain part of love very fascinating, because you have three different takes on one song, and each one of them works.
It's the other side of the coin, but I think here on Valentine's Day, I think we should probably focus more on the romantic and endearing side of love. Otherwise, it could be a completely different five favorites. By the way, we're going to do a couple of five favorites on this week's episode. Don't forget, in addition to kissing your honey and bringing them something sweet, don't forget to call your mother. She was your first Valentine. Just remember that.
Yes.
Well, we checked in with Vegas, Marcus, and they said, you clowns doing a double five favorites. Valentine's Day, matters of the heart, forget about it.
There was no way they were going to even venture to take a risk in that area.
So we'll set aside all the betting on this episode and just go for broke, like you do when you want to ask somebody out and you don't have the nerve and you just kind of go for it. So let's go for it. Next up.
Five favorite duets, the first of two five favorites in this episode.
Love song duets for Valentine's Day. I'll give my number five and we'll go back and forth. How's that?
Sounds good.
I bet you we have a couple in common because we love a lot of the same singers. When it comes to duets, number five for me is Ain't No Mountain High Enough, Marvin and Tammy.
Listen.
My number five is one half the same as your number five, Kim Weston and Marvin Gaye. Let's do it. Let's fall in love.
Wow, so close, because my number four is your same duet as your number five, Marvin being Marvin Gaye and Kim being Kim Weston, and It Takes Two, baby, It Takes Two to make a dream come true.
Wow.
See, all the options here on love songs and duets, man. We're having too much fun. That's my number four, so we almost have one in common there.
And my number four, Ray, Stop Dragging My Heart Around.
Oh, good call.
Nix Petty.
Yeah.
That's a really good one, man. You caught me off guard there with your number four, Petty and Nix. My number three is a couple that's a little bit more well-known together than Tom and Stevie. They were also known by their first names, Sonny and Cher, and the classic, I Got You, Babe.
Wow.
They say our love won't pay the rent, for it's earned, our money's all been spent. I guess that's so, we don't have a plot, but at least I'm sure of all the things we got. Babe, I got you.
What a classic, and what a great choice, man.
60s old school.
Very much 60s old school. Good choice.
You have a number three, sir?
I do have a number three, and it comes from the band's least favorite album of all time, and it's one of their least favorite songs, but you can still feel a little bit of the love in the room when you hear it. It's See How We Are by the band X.
They're all been lost in jail, crowded 52 room. There's too many rats in this cage of the world. And the women know their place, sit home and write letters. Then they visit once a year, where they both just sit there and stare. See how we are. Gotta keep bars in between us. See how we are. We only sing about it once in every 20 years. See how we are. Oh, see how we are.
Yes. Stone silence. Mic drop on this side. There it is. X at your number
three.
And your number two, sir?
My number two is Ain't Nothing But the Real Thing. Tammy Terrell, Marvin Gaye.
So good, man. So many choices with Marvin and duets. You really do, you know?
You can just say all of them, yes.
Yes. Well, my number two, there's an original version, which I love, by Maxine Brown and Chuck Jackson. But the version by Coco Taylor and B.B. King on B.B.'s Blue Summit album of Something You Got, oh, baby, that's the one. My number two.
Not expecting anything like that, but yes.
Before we take a break, Marcus, we need to check on our number one love song duets for Valentine's Day here on our Songs of Love episode. Your number one?
My number one is your number five. Ain't No Mountain High Enough, Marvin Gaye, Tammy Terrell. He's on this top five three times. Tammy's on it twice. I love his voice when it comes to love songs.
Here is another duet combination at my number one that we haven't considered or haven't heard so far. Are you ready?
I'm ready to be shocked.
You're going to shit yourself because you're going to be like, yes, Roberta Flack and Donny Hathaway. Where is the love?
Wow, what an incredible choice.
And it balances our 10 songs that we picked in there perfectly, right? It's like, wow, one big glob of love, duet style.
I know. And, you know, Fleetwood Mac's duet-ish songs where they both sing that are love-oriented or breakup-oriented did make our top five. We're probably in our
Just
honorable
throw that
mentions.
Rumors album in there, yep. Yeah.
Elton John and Kiki D, Don't Go Breaking My Heart, was in my honorable mentions. I love that song. Diana Ross with Marvin Gaye, You're a Special Part of Me. Barbara Streisand, Kris Kristofferson, Evergreen.
I've got two that you haven't mentioned. I was thinking of Elton and Kiki. This one's going to shock you. It's going to hit you from left field. Get ready to duck because it's Shallow from Bradley Cooper and Lady Gaga.
Tell me something, girl. Are you happy in this modern world? Or do you need more? Is there something else you're searching for? I'll fall in all the good times I find myself longing for change, and in the bad times I fear myself.
Wow.
Honorable mention, duet, baby, love song too.
Woo.
At least that's how a lot of people watching it felt steamy after that.
Tell me something, boy. Aren't you tired trying to fill that void? Or do you need more? Ain't it hard keeping it so hardcore? I'm falling.
sometimes I find myself longing for change.
Well, I need a beverage. So let's go to Crooked Eye and grab a pint while we take a break and come back with a further discussion of Songs of Love and another five favorites. I think we're going to have some fun with this one. Our second five favorites here on this episode of the podcast, all about love songs, our favorites for Valentine's Day. Next. Here in the wintertime, you still need a great sock because you're going to find a way to work out. Like when it got warm the other day and you told me you were going for a ride, you know, you got to have great socks. And since they started sponsoring our podcast last year, I know when you hit the road, you've got a pair of Boldfoot socks on those feet.
I do. I love my Boldfoot socks, whether I'm riding outdoors or spinning on a spin bike. They wick the sweat off my feet so I don't get that mushy, yucky, swampy foot feel after doing something athletic. And when it's 40, 50 degrees and the wind can drop the temperature down another 10, having a sock like Boldfoot on to keep your foot a little warmer makes a big difference when you ride.
Sometimes when I wake up in the morning, I can hear Marisa working out downstairs. And I know that she's got her Boldfoots working overtime when she's working out with Jillian, you know?
Definitely.
Whether you're working out or going for a ride, or if you're an aggressive walker, you got to check out Boldfoot.com.
You can pick your design. They have so many to choose from. And a portion of all sock sales go directly to veterans charities. And of course, all socks are made in the USA.
Veteran-owned, American-sewn. It's Boldfoot Socks. Thanks for the support, gang. It's always great to stop here in the middle of the Imbalance History Podcast and have a little pint at Crooked Eye in the heart of Hapro, pouring the cure for what ails you since 2014, but that doesn't say much about what they are and what they do.
Crooked Eye is one of those brew pubs that is really tight within the community. And you really get a warm, friendly vibe when you walk in there. They've always got music. There's food now because of the Salty Vets barbecue, and they keep bringing out new brews on a regular basis as well as the old standbys.
The winter brews are on the board. Go in and have one and check out some of that Salty Vets barbecue as well. And the entertainment at Crooked Eye, it's always changing, so follow them on Facebook and Twitter.
Grab some friends, grab a date, head on over to Crooked Eye for some lovely beers and wonderful food and great atmosphere.
In the heart of Hatboro, pouring the cure for what ails you, they are Crooked Eye Brewery. And we thank them for their support of the Imbalanced Podcast for about a million years now.
Hey, Pantheon listeners, Christian Swain here, taking a break from listening to a little Shout It Out Loudcast episode. Love Tom and Zeus talking all things Kiss. Of course, I was listening to them on my new Raycon wireless earbuds. They have quickly become my go-to earbuds because of the comfort. These soft tips are the best I've ever used. And at this price, plus a Pantheon discount, Raycon is really hitting on all marks. Sound quality is great too. I really love having these three EQ options because I like more bass in the music, but less in my podcast. 8 hours of playtime for the battery is great as well. Surround sound, noise isolating, and awareness mode are all included. These are great earbuds. Go to buyraycon.com/pantheon today to get 20% off your Raycon order plus free shipping. That's right. You'll get 20% off and free shipping at buyraycon.com/pantheon. buyraycon.com/pantheon.
It's Songs of Love on this week's episode of the Imbalanced History of Rock and Roll. My partner, Mark Goldman. I'm Ray Kube. We are discussing love songs, you know, as they pertain to us, but in general, too, right?
Everybody relates to love songs in one way or another, and they pull our heartstrings differently each time we hear them, so...
Beauty of it all.
Yep. And sometimes they bring us back to happy memories, old partners that we really enjoyed or had some great times with, maybe a great vacation with an old partner, whatever it may be. These songs bring back memories. First Crush.
Some of them do that. That's for sure. So we had an idea to do our five favorite Valentine love songs, and we realized that it's a lot of songs. The things we really love about the music that goes with the Valentine's Day holiday. So let's just agree to cut right to the chase on our five favorite, and then we'll go for there. And I got another list I want to talk to you about, too, because this is what happens when we start talking five favorites here on the Imbalanced History. So I'll go first of my five Valentine songs. And it was 5A, it was 5B. And finally, I said, no, I just got to do five. And the Beatles, Something, became my number five from Abbey Road.
You're asking me, will my love grow? I don't know. I don't know. You stick around, now it may show. I don't know. I don't know.
We all know it. We know why. It's a beautiful song, written about a lover in the garden at dawn. It's my number five. What's yours, buddy?
My number five goes back to late 80s, early 90s. Sade, one of my favorite artists from that time period. Her song, Your Love is King, is one of my all-time favorites. Voice is unbelievable. Her groove, her vibe, just fantastic.
Always, right?
And the lyrics are so beautiful. To whomever she is singing, she is making them feel like the most important person in the world. And that is what love is when it comes deep from the heart.
We're talking about our five favorite Valentine love songs. What's your number four?
My number four is Ain't Nobody Chaka Khan. And I just really love that song. It really has a great upbeat, happy vibe to it. In a lot of ways, it definitely makes me feel or think about my wife. So it's one of the songs that definitely reminds me of her when I hear it. So it's definitely
well,
in my top five.
You should be thinking about on Valentine's Day. So that's a perfect song. There you go.
How about you? What's your number four?
My number four was always a favorite of mine from Queen. But when I saw it in the Bohemian Rhapsody movie and its role there, it really became more poignant. Love of My Life from Freddie Mercury and Queen, my number four. Just a beautiful song about painful love.
Love of my life, don't leave me. You've taken my love, now desert me. Love of my life, can't you see?
That's a great song.
Number three for me is Freddie's pal Elton John, right?
Yeah.
And a song he wrote that was unbelievable. Bernie's words on your song were iconic for all time. Amazing.
I sat on the roof and kicked out the moss. Well, a few
Now the verses, well, they've got me quite cross. But the sun's been quite kind while I wrote this song. It's for people like you that keep it turned on. So excuse me for getting, but these things I do, you see I've forgotten if they're green or they're blue. Anyway, the thing is, what I really mean, yours are the sweetest eyes I've ever seen.
Absolutely incredible song. My number three, another band that goes way back into the early days of my life, but it's one of the songs that caught me as a child, and throughout my life, whenever I hear it, I smile because it's a special kind of love. It's one-of-a-kind love affair, The Spinners.
Yeah.
There's a beautiful, ideal, romantic side to that song that really, I guess you could say, hit me. And I still love that song every time I hear it. No, there was nobody. This was from my early, early days as a kid, like my elementary school days as a child. So I just remember hearing that song on the radio and just really, really loving it. On to the next number in the countdown, number two, going way back to those early days again. When Will I See You Again? The 3 Degrees.
When will I see you again? When will our hearts beat together? Are we in love or just friends? Is this my beginning or is this the end? When will I see you again? When will I see you again? When will I see you again?
Yeah, great song. It's a song of longing because somebody's leaving. You're hoping they come back.
Absolutely. And another song I heard as a young child in the elementary school days, and it still sticks with me to this day, and I always, always get so excited to hear that one.
I didn't think of my number two as a love song for a long time, but over a course of time, I realized the Beach Boys' God Only Knows really is a beautiful song about love, and that's why it's my number two.
What a gorgeous song.
I may not always love you, but long as there are stars above you, you never need to doubt it. I'll make you so sure about it. God only knows what I'd be without you. If you should ever leave me, well, life would still go on, believe me. The world could show nothing to me.
And one of my favorite moments is in the movie 50 First Dates.
The Beach Boys? How nice of that man to give me a CD that will remind me of all the wonderful times I shared with his daughter.
What an asshole!
Cursing her father for giving him the CD with the Beach Boys. It's, you talk about Valentine's. Marisa and I share a lot of moments. 50 First Dates is one of our favorites. So,
and Ray, what is your number one?
Well, I brought up Love of My Life. I brought up our connection on 50 First Dates with God Only Knows. And my number one, I was listening to it the other day getting ready for this, and the son of a bitch did it to me again. I just broke down. Listen to John Legend singing All of Me. And it's really so deep and so profound.
What would I do without your smart mouth?
drawing me in and you kicking me out. You got my head spinning, no kidding, I can't pin you down. What's going on in that beautiful mind? I'm on your magical mystery ride, and I'm so dizzy, don't know what hit me, but I'll be alright. My head's underwater, but I'm breathing fine. You're crazy and I'm out of my mind, 'cause all of me loves all of you. Love your curves and all your edges, all your perfect imperfections. Give your all to me, I give my all to you. You're my end and my beginning, even when I lose, I'm winning, 'cause I give you all of me, and you give me all.
One of the most loving love songs I've ever heard. That's why it's my number one for Valentine's Day every year.
That one made my honorable mention list. It is absolutely a wonderful song, and like you said, so deep.
Hold on a second. Hon, what's going on?
No, there's a box there, but I also got an email that you're something about your order from Amazon.
Yes, don't look at it.
I can't look at it. The email doesn't tell me.
What song are we talking about on this podcast right now?
Honey.
She doesn't get it.
The email doesn't tell me what it is. That's why I was concerned that somebody hacked my account.
I hacked your account, okay? So that I could get her a lost copy of a CD she loves. It's the song we're talking about. Can you believe it?
Ironic. Wow.
That's real life.
That's wild.
Dating the podcast. And that's my number one. What's yours, buddy?
My number one is a song that definitely makes me think of my wife every time I hear it. And I always get so excited when it comes on. We saw it live. It took me away. And I'm talking about You've Got the Love by Florence and the Machine. That song.
Oh, what a beautiful song.
Is so incredible. And live, it sounded better than it did on the record that evening, and I just totally got lost.
Sometimes I feel like my head's up in the air. I know I can count on you. Sometimes I feel like saying, Lord, I just don't care. But you got the love I need to see me through. Sometimes it seems the going is just too rough. You got the love I need to see me through. When food is gone, all my daily food. When friends are gone, I know my savior's love is
gone. Now you know what kind of sappy guys we can be. And it's really weird that the replacement CD for the John Legend CD that she lost a long time ago showed up outside in a pouring rainstorm while we're doing this episode. So, hey, you know, I was thinking of some other love songs and neither one of us brought up, but you know who were really good at writing love songs?
Who?
The Beatles. I mentioned something being in my top five, right, from Abbey Road. Maybe I'm Amazed, which really is written by Paul, but still coming from that same place.
That's one of my honorable mentions, and that was in my top 10. I couldn't put it in my top 5. I tried to see if it would make it there, but moving those top 10 around was really, really challenging and really, really difficult.
But that's why I did a separate thing for the Beatles, because I couldn't fit all these into, you know, any list other than their own. I love this one too, If I Fell, because it's hardly half the idea. If I fell in love with you is really the thought, or it's only love.
It's only love and Why should I feel the way I do? It's only love and that is all. But it's so hard loving you. Yes, it's so hard loving you.
But he makes it sound so goddamn important, right?
Mm-hmm.
One of my favorites, too, is The Word. It's kind of cool. It's got that Farfisa organ sound. But The Word, man, The Word is love.
There's so many great love songs. You Make Love and Fun by Fleetwood Mac, still one of my favorites to this day. Maybe I'm Amazed, which you mentioned, by Paul McCartney. Midnight Train to Georgia, Gladys Knight and the Pips, another one of my favorites. Six Underground by the Sneaker Pimps is one that I really, really love.
Here's one I can't believe you haven't mentioned because it was such a big hit in your wheelhouse. Berlin, Take My Breath Away.
That was on the long list of honorable mentions that I am looking at, like, right now. What else is on that list? Love is Stronger Than Death. I Thank You by ZZ Top is a beautiful love song. Burning for You, Blue Oyster Cult. First Time Ever, I Saw Your Face, Roberta Flack. Killing Me Softly, another one.
We missed one.
We missed a
when
bunch.
A Man Loves a Woman. Percy Sledge, Back to the Shoals, man.
When a man loves a woman, can't keep his mind on nothing else. He changed the world for the good thing he's found. If she is bad, he can see it. She can do no wrong. Turn his back on his best friend.
Sam Cooke sang some beautiful love songs. Buddy Holly sang some great love songs. You had All Day, All Night by Bob Marley, Waiting in Vain. Layla, Have You Ever Loved a Woman by Eric Clapton. So there's
Billy Soul, Delphonics, Didn't I Blow Your Mind This Time?
Oof.
Stylistics, You Make Me Feel Brand New. The Shy Lights, Oh Girl.
We could just keep naming songs for hours. Holy cow. Like, and they're all good songs. And then
the
going
Drifters,
into...
The Drifters, yeah. This Magic Moment, another one that was on my list.
Wow.
Just good fun. And it's all in the name of love. I'm exhausted, man.
That was a lot of fun talking about all those great love songs and even more that we could talk about. Maybe next year at Valentine's Day, we'll put together a new list of five favorites that'll be mostly different than this
now,
list.
I have to go retrieve Maurice's Valentine's present from a downpour on the front step. So I have to go put on a rain jacket and get an umbrella. It's not lightning, so I'm good. And step out to pick up the delivery of the John Legend replacement CD. So I guess we should sign off before we go too much further. I want to wish everybody a happy Valentine's Day. Hopefully you've had some love in your life, even if it's your fur babies.
And please let us know what your five favorite love songs are by emailing us imbalancedhistory@gmail.com. You can hit us up on social media, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, The Imbalanced History of Rock and Roll. We'd love to hear from you, and we'd love to know what tickles your fancy in the love department.
And remember, a little bit of love goes a very long way. That's going to do it for this episode of the podcast. Always live from the Dark Doc Media Studios on the Pantheon Podcast Network. I'm Ray Coob.
I'm Marcus Goldman.
This has been Songs of Love on the Imbalanced History
of Rock and Roll.
Hey, this is Liberty DeVito.
This is Mike Del Judas.
This is Michael Cavanaugh from Broadway's Moving Out.
This is John Jackson, director of the Billy Joel Archive.
This is Russell Javers.
This is Richie Cannata, and you're listening to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast. It's awesome.
I'm Michael Grosvenor.
And I'm Jack Frenino.
We're lifelong Billy Joel fans who launched a podcast in 2020 celebrating the music we love.
Whether you're looking for the greatest hits or the B-sides and rarities, you'll find it all here. And if you've ever wondered what happens behind the scenes of a concert or recording session, we've got you covered.
Join us as we explore albums, tours, band members, the latest news, and more. You'll also get a unique glimpse into the music industry straight from the musicians and other professionals who help make it all happen.
Tune in to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, at glasshousespod.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, is a proud member of the Pantheon Podcasts Network.